people's souls depend on your knowledge when you call yourself a pastor. Their soul state depends on you, because you are supposed to direct them according to the Word of God. But if you don't know the Word of God yourself, how can you direct the people? Amen. You can't just get somebody that's famous, take their tapes and listen to them over and over, and then think you're called into the ministry and get up and start preaching things that you don't even know what you're preaching. Because, you see, we're going to have to answer for the things that we say to the people and do with the people. Amen? So it's a serious, serious business. So if you have your Bibles today, I want to show you what I'm talking about. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews, Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." And so any ministers that is truly a Christian minister, his or her message should be centered around Jesus and who he is to us and what he does for us. Nowadays, everybody's, a lot of people anyway, are preaching about what you have to do to get this or what you have to do to get that. And actually, Jesus has done it all for us, the way I read the Bible. And all he asks of us is just to be faithful and obedient. We don't have to strive in his kingdom to please him. He's already pleased that you're in the kingdom. Amen. And then the next scripture is 1 Corinthians 2, 1. 1 Corinthians 2, 1. And this is Paul. And he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear, in much trembling, and my speech and preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And so we're living in this hour of time where there are many people preaching, and they're preaching out of their soul state, out of their own mind state, their own wisdom, what they've heard somebody else say. Oh, this person is popular. I'll just imitate that ministry and maybe I can be popular. And you see, Christianity is a vital force in the world today. And it's a force that's quickly being trampled upon in our own country. The world, in many instances, has lost a regard for the Christian faith. They've lost a reverence for its pastors. The influence of Christianity in America has waned just in the last 15 years even. And so we need to claim our generation for the cause of God. And they cannot know what the cause of God is unless a preacher is sent. You see, I believe there's a lot of people that are out there preaching that God never sent. And you might say, oh, there she goes again. Well, you know, I believe that the Bible backs me up with these claims, because the Bible tells us that in the last days, there's going to be many deceivers to come into the world, many false prophets, people calling themselves Christ. And so there will be a religion that denies the power of God. And you see, it's the power of God that crushes our hearts when we're not right, that makes us aware of our own soul condition. As we stand our life next to the power of God and the truthfulness of His Word, we see a picture of ourselves, or a mirror of ourselves, according to that Bible and according to Jesus Christ. And so some people don't like to see that part of themselves, and so they will pick teachers according to the Word of God in this hour of time to come and tickle their ears. And they will find teachers that deny the power of God. And so the reason that they will seek out the teachers to tickle their ears is because of their soul state, and they don't want to change. They want to keep themselves active in the flesh. And I've seen it over the years in the ministry where people said, well, you know, I don't have anything. I'm not anybody, but I have my flesh and I'm going to keep it. You see, the Bible tells us that we need to kill our flesh. That doesn't mean that we go get a gun and shoot ourselves. That means that we get our flesh under subjection to the cross and to the Word, so that we can have eternal life forever with Jesus. And not only that, but when we make that sort of a commitment, our life will become better. That's what the Word teaches. The blessings come upon those that are obedient to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? It seems as though in many instances, in this hour of time, people are being blessed that are not in subjection to Jesus Christ. But you see, with no hindrance from the devil, you can do anything you want to do, and you will seem as though you're blessed, because you seem as though you're making it better. You know, you get under one of these teachers that teaches you, all you've got to do is to be a Christian and give your money to me, the preacher, and you'll be blessed. And some people do get blessed in those circumstances. Preachers sure do. But the point that I'm making here is the Bible says the blessings comes down upon those who are obedient to God. So if they're getting blessed and they're following after other gods and other doctrines, how come? The devil will do anything to get your soul. If it's money that you want, he'll give you money. Do you know that? If it's position you want, he'll give you position. You know, I heard on a news report several years ago, for instance, many of your great stars are going over to Africa and yielding their careers to the witch doctors. And the witch doctors, there's one particular one, I'm not going to say his name, but there's one particular one that was bathed in 57 cows' blood. They killed 57 cows for that person to have fame and fortune. And that person has fame and fortune. But the truth is how long does fame and fortune last? It lasts maybe, if you're very, very fortunate, some people can live up to 100 years old, but very few. Most people start looking for death when they hit 70. They begin to say, life is short. Time is short. Whatever time that I have to make it count. And they get serious about things that they've never been serious before. But you see, 70 years is like a vapor, according to what the Word of God says. It just comes and suddenly it's gone. But eternal life is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and never, never goes old. It never gets over. So, we have to be aware of just exactly who we have placed our future eternity with. If we're under a true prophet of God or a false prophet of God. And you know, Jesus had a lot to say about prophets. I did a sermon on it one time and a study on it. He said more about that than most things he ever talked about. And so Jesus wants us to be discerning Christians. He wants you to study the Word, read the Word, so that you can hear with spiritual ears and see with spiritual eyes. Is this of God or is this not of God? You see, when Paul came over to the Galatians, one of the things he said to them was, oh, you foolish Galatians. He said they were foolish because he said, who has bewitched you? So there's bewitching spirits everywhere today. And I can tell you, nobody's looking. Nobody is looking. But it behooves me to warn you to be a discerner of the Word of God and a discerner of whether Jesus is caught up in the center of people's preaching. Amen? And so last week I talked to you about the deceivers and for you to walk in defense of the faith, that we have to be defenders of our faith. We have to know how to expound on our faith so that when somebody comes to you and they decide that they're going to try to pull you away from the truth, and they will come and they will try, that you can defend your faith foundations and why you are where you are. And hopefully you can defend it scripturally. When I was a baby Christian and I went over to Israel, there was a Jewish woman down in one of the stores. And she, all of us were just little baby Christians that went on that particular tour. And she said, there's nothing in the Old Testament about Satan. Well, since then I found out that was a lie. But back in those days, I didn't know that there was something in the Old Testament about Satan because I was a new Christian, you see. So it behooves you to know the foundations of your faith and why you believe what you do and have it scripturally based. I listened to a Baptist minister today. His message was full of things about Jesus, his position, who he was, why he came. He even talked about him descending into hell to lead the captives free. And I said, you know, Lord, some of those folks are preaching a stronger, better message than many of your Spirit-filled Christians today. At least they're centered in the Word and around Christ. You see? And it's the Spirit-filled Christian that says that we have it all because we have, quote, the full gospel. But we don't have the full gospel if we're not preaching the Word of God. And we don't have the full gospel if we're just up preaching somebody else's message that sounded good to us, so I think I'll preach that this week. Or listening to somebody's tapes over and over, imitating their movements, the way they walk, the way they talk. And I've actually seen preachers do things like that. And then they go off into some darkness, and the people are not seeking God about these things in our hour. So they just sit there, and all of a sudden they fall asleep. In the book of Revelation, it says they shall have a slumbering spirit. There is a spirit that has been prepared to come and sit on your pew, to blind you, to deafen you, to give you a religious spirit, so that you only listen to the part of the Gospels that you like. The rest of it you say, I don't need that. You need it all. Amen? And so, I wanted to start today at verse 5, because we already started at the first part of Jude. And it gives us a reminder here of the judgments that God has reserved for those false prophets. Now, when God called me, I thought that I was just going to have a miracle ministry, which I do have. And I never wanted to teach the Bible. I didn't, because I had read that scripture where teachers, they're going to stand a firmer, bigger judgment. And I said, well, you know, that's a big responsibility, and I don't want to do that. And I was out there doing miracles all over the place, and some women came to my prayer meeting. And they said, but you don't teach. And I said, no, I don't know the Bible. And they said, well, we don't want to sit under a supernatural ministry that doesn't understand the Bible. Now, we're talking 33 years ago that this went on. And so I said, well, you know, I was raised a Catholic, and we never had to read the Bible, but I'll get a Bible, and I'll sit with the Lord every week, and He'll show me what to teach you, which I did. And that's how I learned the Bible. Now, this Bible that I have with me today is my second Bible, and you can see that it's all beat up. But what you can't see is that I color-coded this Bible, and I did it before the color-coded Bibles ever came out. But the interesting thing about it was that the Lord sat with me and taught me the Word of God. And I learned that it was important to stay in the Word and to teach the Word, because people listen to you and you have power over their souls. And if you're not teaching the Word of God, you're consigning people to hell. Amen? And so it's important. So in verse 5 it says, the Lord says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. Now, you see, these scriptures show us that we serve a God of deliverance. And when He delivers us, you see, then He teaches us the Word of God. And we know the Word of God. When we first get saved, if we're fortunate enough to get saved and be under a Bible teacher, we will learn the Word of God. But if you go away and you begin to compose your own religion, then you're turned over to a reprobate mind. And there's so many people today that have their own little religion going. It's not the faith that was given to us by our Savior and His blood, that saints for generations and generations bled for us to be able to have the true faith. It's this part I'll do and this part I won't do type faith will never, ever get you into the kingdom of God. Because the parts that you don't like to do are the parts that you need to do. Amen? So be very, very careful that you don't fall into unbelief in this hour. And that you don't fall in to that group of people like God brought out of the land of Egypt that wandered through that promise, through that wilderness for 40 years within 30, 40 miles away from their destination in a state of confusion, doing their own thing and not listening to the man that God had chosen to lead them out of that wilderness. Don't be one of those kind of unbelievers. Because they once knew, they once believed, but now they had confusion and had dropped into a reprobate mind. In verse 6 it says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until judgment of the great day." Now, you see, this preparation's going on from the foundation of the world for the great judgment day. And the angels who once stood in the presence of a holy, beautiful, wonderful God followed after Satan and rebelled against a place that was perfect, a being that was perfect. And so when these angels fell, what happened was that some of them are still consigned into the pit and chained down there, you see. Some of them are loosed, and some of them are working mightily in the world today. And so the Bible shows us in Revelation 6:17 that there will be a great judgment. And so as you're having fun doing your own thing, choosing the parts that you want, well, the Bible says don't fornicate. But I like to fornicate. I don't see anything wrong with that. So you go and fornicate. And then the next thing you know, you're walking in grave darkness. Well, a little bit of drinking isn't going to hurt me. I only do it every now and then. Next thing you know, you will be chained to become an alcoholic. One of my teachers told a story about a man that was in his church. And he left the church. He was actually had become a preacher, actually. And he left his church and got out into drugs and women. And he called this man. And he said, "Would you come and help me?" And this is the type of a preacher that would walk 1,000 miles to save a soul. So he ran over to his place. The man took out the syringe and the little thing that you tie around the arm. He tied it around his arm, took the syringe. Every vein had collapsed in his body. He said, "Preacher, won't you come and help me? Won't you come and help me?" He said, "I can't find a vein." The preacher said, "I will never contribute to your sin life. No, sir. I will not do that." Now, if you want to talk about your soul, I believe Jesus can deliver you from that. And so with that story is what I'm getting at. There are people that are in mighty trouble today because of the spiritual darkness that has come upon the church in America. There's one international television star that says, "We're no longer going to preach about sin. We're not going to call people up to the altar weeping about their soul condition. We're not going to tell them how bad they are. We're going to prophesy over them how good they are. My Bible tells me that no one is good, not even one. The only person that's good is Jesus himself, right? And so the Bible says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 7, and the cities about them in this manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of the eternal fire. Now, nobody wants to talk about the eternal fire. Nobody wants to believe that God has divine vengeance. How can we talk about those things? He's a good God. We can't discuss that. Well, we'll just leave that laying there. And we'll just say that the people that are in defilement, they're in fornication and lasciviousness, it's going to be all right. Is that what the Bible says? No. That's what the human mind thinks of, and those thoughts are placed in those minds by demonic powers. Satan's demons working over twisted minds. You better make sure where you're sitting today. In verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. You see, there's a defilement that comes upon people as they begin to walk in impurity. And this defilement opens them up for rebellion, and it opens them up for evil imaginations. And whatever your mind can conceive, it can do and will do. This is why we have to guard our minds against defilements. Amen? And so evil speech is another thing. Somebody told me not long ago, they said, Pastor, I need to get back in church. And I said, yes, you really do. They said, you know, when you get away from church, your speech gets a little evil. And I thought, that's not the only thing that'll get evil. You better get back in church while you're still thinking about it. Amen? And so we go on, and the Bible says, yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring a railing against, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Now you see, we have the power of God to walk above the flesh. We have the power to do it. But the only way that we can do it is our total dependency upon the Lord. Amen? We need to begin to see that God wants to call us out of the darkness into the light. And in this hour of time, you can be sitting in churches and hearing a false gospel. You can be under a preacher denies the power thereof. We as Christians need to depend on Jesus to lead our souls. The Holy Spirit, he said, I'll send the Holy Spirit to you in John 14, and he shall lead you into all truth. But he cannot lead you into all truth if you're going your own way. If your mind's made up, and you just want an easy life, a sinful life, go ahead. But like I told you last week, you can bust hell wide open, trying to do good things and living in the flesh. You know, God loves you so much. And he wants you to get these messages. Because you can walk around in confusion without understanding. As long as you're dependent on yourself and on teachers that don't know what they're preaching. You know, every Christian should seek God about the truth. Because if you're sitting under a false prophet, Jesus said, both of you will fall into the ditch. That's serious. Jesus wants you under a minister that will lift his name up, that will serve him with their whole heart, will diligently seek him in his ways, and then teach you, according to the Word of God, how to live. He loves you very much. He wants you to make it, and we do too. Come see us over at Miracle. God bless you.